Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel if you're watching and listening live, and or on the Fight Game Media Audio Network if you're listening on Thursday morning. Forbidden Door is in the books, and watching the show tonight, like other than a few, you know, just kind of telling us what happened, Forbidden Door season's over. No more New Japan, no more CMLL. We're strictly AEW at this point, so...
Paul,
yes,
I live in America.
Hey, we got Matt back. He was done with AEW, and after this show, which I'll just say it off the bat, I thought this was a great show. But we'll, you know, we'll talk about some other things, but just to get it off my chest, I really, really like the show tonight.
Canada Day was this week, 4th of July is tomorrow.
Yep.
America continues its dominance over Canada in hockey. It's a good week.
Was that in the women's game?
No, I'm talking Stanley Cup.
Well, yeah. Florida.
Canadians tried to burn down our White House during the War of 1812.
I lost my bet. I was so sad. Yeah.
I know.
And sadness. I thought about putting a $2,000 bet down on the Panthers right before the game started and figuring, you know, at least I'll win something, right? Because then I would have had a $2,000 profit or a $3,500 profit, but I just said, "Nah, let's go for it." Anyways, we're here to talk about AEW. Forbidden Door was Sunday.
Yes.
As a lot of you probably know, because I think I mentioned it last week and I mentioned it on Twitter, I didn't order the show. There's a few reasons. I would say number one, like, I wasn't really feeling the show. Like, we did the preview last week, and, you know, I talked about it. I tried to hype it up like a good AEW company man that I am, even though I don't get paid by them. And then I was listening to, like, Dave and Garrett on Wrestling Observer Radio, and they're going over the card. And every match, I'm just like, I like the I was intrigued about who would win between Will and Swerve. And other than that, like, there just wasn't anything on the show that felt like I absolutely needed to see it. And so I'm backlogged on wrestling that I need to watch anyways. So, I mean, I said, well, if it's a good show, and I heard it was, I may order it later and watch it later. And I still might do that. But then it's 5 hours, 5.5 hours long. That's the other problem. And maybe a bigger problem in the long run. Like, I don't have that kind of time to watch a show that I already know the results of. And I didn't have the time to watch it on Sunday. So, you know,
I'm gonna say this. I don't think you missed much.
Okay.
But I mean, look, I'll tell you this. Go watch the six man on the 0 hour.
I have that on the PBR, and I am intending to watch all five matches on that. That's a whole card right there.
I mean, but between the six man, Will and Swerve and Stephanie Vaquer and Mercedes, I think that's all you really need.
Yeah, like Danielson Shingo, I'm sure it was great, but I've seen a million great Danielson matches. In fact, I saw one tonight, and I've seen a million great Shingo matches. I'm about to see 10 more in the next month. So I'm good on Danielson Shingo. You know what I mean? Like, and I know who won. So, but after the show, you know, and everybody watching, listening, we'll talk about some of the results as we go through the show, and because they did do some video packages. But after the show, they did their press conference, which they're still doing. And there was a couple interviews you wanted to talk about.
Well, I'm not sure if this was even an interview here, because this is a Fightful Select report.
Oh, was it? Okay, my bad.
But Mercedes was also doing like PR rounds and stuff like that. And right. there are two interviews that just they're driving me a little bit nuts. I got a little bee in my bonnet, so to speak.
Okay.
Because, you know, Fightful Select has learned that the AEW New Japan Forbidden Door main event came about because Will Ospreay wanted to eliminate the talking point of Swerve being a placeholder for him until All In. He wanted to lead by example that anyone should be good losing to the world champ as well, etc., etc. And then Mercedes was on. You know, she talked about her struggles with WWE and getting the when she booked the Mandalorian, but it was also, oh, I wanted to prove to the world that Stephanie Vaquer can go, or, you know, make her look like a star, etc., etc. I don't think either of these things help AEW or the people who are saying them. These are things that need to be kept under wraps. I mean, we could see by both matches that they both cared about the other guy in the ring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, and to me, I hear Will say that about his match, and his match had kicks out of finishes, a ref bump, possible screw job. I mean, it was a bit of an overbooked mess. A little bit. It was still a great match. Don't get me wrong, people. I'm not crapping on the match. But I'm like, okay, if you really want to show that he's not, go lose to him clean in a dominant performance or something. You know, it's one of those things where I'm just like, if I'm Swerve, I'm like, excuse me, you wanted to do what? You know, that kind of thing. I'm the champion. Yeah. I mean, these are the type of PR hits that Tony wants because it appeals to people who are in the wrestling bubble, so to speak, in terms of wrestling media and stuff. But I think AEW is better served by just doing the, you know, kissing babies and shaking hands type of stuff, you know. Go meet your favorite star at this store or this restaurant, you know, 4 to 7 p.m. Just do the usual PR stuff. The insider PR where you're basically, and I think a lot of this is, well, we're the company that respects new talent and want to put them, if they go to WWE, they're going to have to pay their dues and they're going to get destroyed and, you know, they're not going to be used to their full potential stuff. It's, to
unless
me,
you're Samoan.
Yeah, that's very, very true. But to me, it was like, well, what is this serving, these two interviews? And to me, I'm just like, and these reports aren't because Sean Ross, like the Sean Ross Sapp took a lot of heat for this report getting out. It's like, it wasn't Sean Ross Sapp going to Will Ospreay to correct. Talk about this.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted sure, this I'm out sure for a
went,
reason.
I'm sure he went to others too. Like, I'm sure he talked to Dave.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, he, yeah.
Dave it, probably listened to what he said and thought the same thing you did.
Yeah, I'm a little baffled. Yeah. I get kind of the point, but it also comes from not a place of strength, in my opinion. Yeah. And I think it's one of those things where talent should talk to people less unless they want to get something out there. They don't need to explain themselves on these things, and they don't need to explain the booking.
There's another way he could have said the same thing, and he could have just said, you know what? A lot of people thought that I was going to be going to Wembley and winning the world title at Wembley from Swerve. And I went to Tony Khan and I said, I want to do this now. I want to do it in America on Swerve's home turf and prove who the better man is.
And well, keep it kayfabe.
Yes. If I can beat him in Long Island, in his backyard, then I can go defend the title against him at Wembley. And we can really see, okay, if he can beat me twice in a row, then, you know, or I can beat him twice in a row, then I'm the better man. You know what I mean? Like, do it that way as opposed to him saying, well, yeah, I know I'm better, but I'm going to put Swerve over to prove that I'm a company guy.
There's a little bit too much how the sausage is made out of this when we just need to enjoy the sausage.
The Mercedes stuff, I think, is a little different.
It's a little different.
And I also think it may have been laying the seeds for continuing to water the garden that started at Long Island, from what I heard, of her heel turn. Because tonight, I mean, there's no doubt about it. She is 100% heel tonight, and as she should be. She's in her glory right now. Like, this is the CEO character is not a babyface character. And, I mean, what they did with her tonight was perfect, and she was the perfect one to do it with.
And I'm going to go a step further. I think they should link her with the Elite.
Well, they kind of did.
Well, they kind of did, but what I'm saying is, I mean, permanently.
Yeah. I mean, at the CEO of the Elite?
Yes.
Why not? Yeah. And you know what? And Willow could be, you know, she could be the corner person. She could be the JJ. And you could put Willow on Team AEW, you know, or
you could put Britt.
Britt, yeah. And then, and then maybe Britt fucks them over.
No, I don't. I don't think that.
Not yet.
And I, you know what? This might. I mean, it's very interesting because Britt is a natural heel in some ways, but she wasn't tonight. And
no, and she's Mercedes, not going to be.
She's not. No. And yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I wrote it all down, and it was. I mean, it was something else, and I was amazed at the way the crowd responded. Like they were. I mean, we'll talk about it, but they were right with her every step of the way. And they responded appropriately to everything.
And I think because also coming out of Forbidden Door, that was the other note I had was when she came out, and it explained the nerves explained a lot. I thought maybe she was nervous because usually she'll smile and stuff, and there was no smile. It was almost like a look of concern when she came out to stand out and take Mercedes' moment. I was like, what is going on? There's something up here. But nerves is Occam's razor right there, and I can totally completely understand that.
Yeah, so again, I thought a great show tonight. I really did. Like coming out of a pay-per-view, they set up, I mean, we're on the road to Wembley, all in. I'm never going to get those two right.
No.
All in at Wembley. And at Blood and Guts in 3 weeks.
I'm a little concerned about the show.
About tonight?
Yes.
Okay, I'm interested in that. But.
I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I did like it. But it ended with serious beatdown. And Paul Hawkins' math says if you have 3 serious beatdowns, how many serious beatdowns do you have?
Well, I would normally say yeah, 0, but I would say we had 1.
I would pretty much say that. But it was just interesting the pacing of the show. They ended with 3 very dark moments in terms of
the hook stuff could have waited till next week.
I agree.
Yeah, and should have actually, given what was going to happen at the end.
And I think maybe if you put the Hangman stuff earlier in the show, it works a little bit better.
But I figured out why they waited till tonight, and I mean I don't know. This was so blatantly obvious. Why they had to wait for tonight.
Okay.
Because Chicago hates Hangman going back to Punk.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, so you had to wait till Chicago.
There was no Punk presence on this show whatsoever.
No, but they hate him, and any other place he was going to get cheered no matter what.
Okay.
I believe.
I don't know if I agree with you there, because I think the Punk AEW faction has left.
I don't know if they've left Chicago.
No, I mean, they're not coming to the show.
They're not chanting CM Punk, but they remember that they don't like Hangman.
Right.
Yeah. So I do think that was by design.
But I don't think. You're probably right. It was just weird because like I was actually expecting Jarrett to win whoever he was going up against and then lose in Memphis.
I was expecting Hangman to come out and be cheered and just mow through Jeff Jarrett and then basically do what they did backstage. You know, what they did with the Elite backstage, I was fully expecting that. But I wasn't expecting the Hangman we got.
Let's get to the show then.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I'm going to try to remember to do this every time because I just think it's a good way to kind of gauge barometers. I checked the attendance right before the show, and it was 4,900, which not a bad crowd for AEW at all. Just a little bit under the last time they were there for Dynamite.
They had 535 out, right?
They did like just under 5,100 last time. So
no, that's a solid number for them, given what they've been drawing of late. So yeah,
and also given that WWE just ran Chicago like 10 days ago for SmackDown. So you know that's good. That's good. And they're there a lot. So the tickets went on sale for All Out and Collision in I think on the weekend. So.
Yeah.
So we got the cold open with Renee, and she brings in the backbone of AEW, Daniel Garcia. And she asked him if he feels pressure, and he said he does. He respects Ospreay. He promised to win, and MJF shows up and encouraged him, says, I'm going to be in your corner, Danny. And I wrote down, poor Garcia is getting fucked over tonight. And I was talking to people, and people didn't think I was right. Like, they bought MJF's line, hook, line, and sinker. The clincher to this was when Matt Menard shows up and said, you know, I never really trusted you, but you've proven yourself. You're all right with us. And I went, oh, yeah, that was it. Danny's doomed at that point. MJF, I mean, especially knowing what you know, like, to go back and watch it, like, his acting was kind of not very good.
I'm still trying to get over Daniel Garcia as the backbone of AEW.
It's just a story they've been telling for a couple weeks.
I know, but still, it's
yeah. He's more than a pillar. He's the somebody that keeps the building up, which is exactly what a pillar is.
He's not a pillar even. So that's not.
Yeah. And he was wrong last week when he said MJF saved him from being attacked next week because MJF actually attacked him.
Yeah.
Miguel, we'll talk about it later, but we're getting blood and guts because it's July. That's why we're getting blood and guts.
We're getting blood and guts because we're trying to boost summer ratings to get a better deal in media rights.
All right. So, we got that. And that set the stage for the main event. Garcia is going to be cornered by MJF. And we opened in the ring with Bryan Danielson and Pac. And this is a semi-final match in the Owen tournament. And fans, before they even locked up, were chanting, holy shit. And the announcers pointed that out. They pointed out that they've had two previous singles matches, both over 15 years ago. So I guess they didn't wrestle in WWE. I'm kind of surprised about that.
No, because I think Neville was a cruiserweight, so he was kept away from Bryan Danielson.
For some reason, I thought they had wrestled on that Saturday morning show, but I guess I was wrong.
You might be correct on that.
Yeah, I don't know. But then again, it's not these two guys. It was Daniel Bryan and Neville.
Adrian Neville, yes.
Yeah, which is not Pac. And fans chanted, this is wrestling, and before they even did anything, like, they're just pacing. And but you know what? Like, if this was 1963, what they were doing at that point, that was wrestling. But then they got into it. There were some dueling chants, Pac and Bryan, and then both these guys. Pac put him in the brutalizer heading to commercial, and he stayed in control through the whole break. Tony Schiavone had a special announcement that the first team member of Team AEW will be announced right after this match. I don't know why they bothered telling us that, like, especially with how it played out, but they did. I guess maybe they just wanted people to stay tuned. Crowd was super hot through this whole thing. Then they just kicked it into gear. Danielson hit him with a Busaka knee, then a bunch of yes kicks on the floor while Pac was in a chair. Super kick on the floor by Pac. Pointed out Danielson's all taped up. They didn't, unless it was during the ring entrances, they did not tell us that he beat Shingo, but I guess, you know, the fact that he was in this match explained that he beat Shingo.
Yes.
Yeah. Pac hit a great pile driver for two. He went for the black arrow and missed it. Busaka knee by Danielson, but he couldn't cover right away. Finally did, but he only got two. And Pac put on the brutalizer, but he laid him out flat. And then Danielson powered out, and he pinned him, but then Pac had to let it go. Danielson hit the label lock. Pac reversed that into a pin, and then Danielson reversed that and pinned him. And finish kind of came out of nowhere, but still worked. And I thought this was a really, really good match, and it actually made me want to see them on pay-per-view in a longer match. So I thought it was really, really good. People may not remember this, but at one point Pac or Danielson called Pac the perfect wrestler and said if he could tell his kid to watch anyone's matches, it would be Pac's and not his. So
this was okay, but that didn't play into the match at all. So
no, but that. Just
okay.
Yeah, just
no. It was a fun match. It was kind of what you'd expect these two to do, and I don't say that in a bad way, but I also say that in a way where it was like there was no real extra sauce to it in some way either. They're not really telling a story with Danielson per se.
Well, he's beat up. He's beat up.
So he's a little beat up. I mean, he's wearing tape and stuff, but it's at the same time he's kind of wrestling full speed. Pac isn't exactly. I mean, Pac is cranky, but he's not, you know, trying to hurt Danielson here. He's just trying to beat him. It was an Owen Hart tournament match, and it was good, and I enjoyed it. And
he'll, I guess, well, probably
it felt a little lacking in heat to me at times. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. Not from the crowd. It had plenty of crowd heat, but the actual
from the match itself. Yeah.
I think they relied on the fact that this was a dream match a little.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. This was a fan goodwill match.
You talk about the story, and I think the story was more obvious after the match when the doctors came out and they were checking on Danielson and they pointed that out.
I'm done with this Danielson faking injury stuff.
Well, I
really
am faking this time because I think Hangman's going to roll through him next week, and that's the story.
Right? Well, okay, that's cool too. But at the same time, Daniel doing his like little my arm is shaking type of a thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm a little over it. I get that he wants to do it.
there was a spot in the Shingo match too where he like got dropped on his head and was right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So and then we go backstage to Renee with Willow. And this was a really good promo. But it's kind of funny. So she asks her, you know, how she's feeling, and she says, "Well, nothing matters, smile anyway." And I live by those words. Life can be so miserable. If I didn't look up on the bright side, I'd crawl into a ball and die. But Chris Statlander, Stokely Hathaway, you mock me. Smile anyway is for the hardworking people who never get appreciation. My family friend fighting through depression, looking for the light day after day. It's for the little girl who wanted to be one of the best professional wrestlers in the world. That little girl may have lost her beloved TBS champion, but she gave it the fight of her life. And opportunities in front of me, and I'm going to knock that door down and become the first ever two-time Owen Hart Foundation Cup winner. Chris Statler, I'm heading to the ring right now, and I'm going to kick your butt. Why? Because nothing matters. Smile anyway. And it dawned on me, like, what a horrible like mantra to live by. Nothing matters.
Oh, welcome to me like a year and a half ago when I was discussing what a nihilistic, terrible gimmick this is.
Yeah. But she sold it.
She sells it. It was a great promo, but it was like, I'm watching this. I'm going, all right, she started with some wrist-cutting depression, and then she went into the Dusty Rhodes Hard Times promo all of a sudden.
Yes, okay. I wasn't just me that pointed out.
Yeah, there was a lot of Dusty Rhodes in that promo, but it was like emo Dusty Rhodes. It's like Dusty Rhodes put on a Misfit shirt and put on some guy liner or something dark... You know, nothing matters, baby.
Smile anyway. Yeah. This is.
For Willow, this was a great promo. It really was.
Yeah, and she nailed the landing, and it was great, and it really set the table for the match, which I thought was, you know, not as good as the promo.
Hard times and when your stereo headphones go out on you when you're listening to a very moody.
Hard times
song.
Okay. Smile anyway.
Smile anyway.
I'm starting to sound like Velvet Jones.
We are. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor super drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We got some highlights of the TNT title ladder match. I wrote down it looked insane, but I also saw everything I needed to see from that match in this highlight package. Perry won after murdering Briscoe with a chair, and he had just a short little promo said, "I'm the future and I'm not going anywhere." So that's cool, except he wasn't there tonight. I don't think. Oh, no, he was.
Never he mind. Was.
What are That's you right. About? Yeah. What am I talking about? He's right in this next segment, as a matter of fact. All right. Briscoe came to the ring with his ROH title. Chicago, what's going on, baby? I came here tonight representing the baddest tag team, Them Boys. And the fans start chanting, "Them Boys." They call me Chicken. I ain't scared of shit. He's getting bleeped left, right, and center of everything. Meanwhile, Britt says shit. Later on, and no.
Well, Britt gets the main event swear word.
Oh, okay.
Mark gets the 7-second delay.
He said ass. He got bleeped. He said.
They're waiting for it. They knew it was coming. They had the 7-second delay.
What he was going to say?
Yes.
Last week, I came within inches of becoming a TNT champion. Jack Parra ate an extra bowl of Lucky Charms and shoved him up his ass. I ain't worried about last week. I'm worried about this week. Damn it! This week is Shock Week. A liar. They told us later Shark Week starts on Sunday. Like, oh, Briscoe, I don't trust him. That's right. When I think of a shock, I think of blood. I think of blood and guts. 3 weeks from tonight, Blood and Guts, Team AEW versus Team Elite, declaring myself a member of Team AEW. You boys don't know what violence is, what blood and guts is. Hear what I'm saying? And before he can finish his sentence, Jack Perry shows up and knocks him out cold with the TNT title belt. Then Kyle O'Reilly shows up, and I'm like, oh, God, no. He's going to be on this team, isn't he? And he showed up and took out Perry, and then out comes Okada and levels him with a Rainmaker, and then the Bucks show up, and they're dancing and clapping on the stage. Excalibur told us that they beat the Acclaimed in the Scissor Ace on Sunday. I think that's right? Did they win? You remember?
I thought the Acclaimed won.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm remembering, or maybe I heard him
but
wrong.
But maybe I'm misremembering. I can't remember.
I don't think it matters.
No.
The Bucks gave Mark Briscoe the EVP trigger, and then they posed with their belts, and this got a lot of heat.
Yeah, I don't like this way of introducing Team AEW.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I, you know, number one, no, I mean, it's weird because Anarchy in the Arena was kind of a unified, okay, we're all, this is our team, and we're going in there to do this. We're starting from the bottom and we're working up. And I don't know if that's the best way to get us hyped for this. I want to hear who, you know, Tony Khan. I mean, also Tony Khan should be the person announcing who's Team AEW.
Can I rewrite this segment? Mark Briscoe comes out and he does most of this promo, but instead of talking about the ending, about thinking of Shark and blood and guts, he does the same promo he did online about Jack Perry and how he got lucky and whatever else he said in that wild promo. And before he can finish that, the Elite beat him down. And then Mark Briscoe goes to the back
to Tony Khan and says,
no,
I want it.
Not Tony Khan.
Oh, Chris Daniels. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And says, I want in that blood and guts match. I want to get my revenge, you know, whatever.
Like, yes.
And then we get two Briscoe promos the way I booked it.
Okay. No, that's fine too. Yeah, this should be, I mean, but this should be the other EVPs who are not the Elite putting together a team with some form of strategy.
Well, Tony's strategy is I like Briscoe, so I want him on my team.
Well, yeah, but he never gave. I mean, but I mean, he wasn't seen as. I mean, it's just Mark just decided to walk out and go, I declare myself on this team. Well, hold on.
But Tony, they told us earlier, Tony had already decided.
Well, I had a message from Tony Khan that he'll be revealed. Yeah. So I guess, okay. Yeah. I guess that's kind of.
That's why they did that thing.
Yeah, I get it. I think they've pivoted the match though too, because I thought it was originally gonna be like
Osprey Swerve, yeah,
and I also or not even MJF, I thought it might be Osprey Swerve and the Acclaimed Billy Gunn, but I think it's gonna be that conglomeration Swerve and Osprey.
So Kyle Orange,
Mark,
Bristow, yeah,
Swerve and Will.
Swerve and Will. Maybe Will. Maybe no Will.
Maybe no Will. You're
probably. Yeah. Maybe Kyle, Orange, Briscoe. Wasn't there someone else in that conglomeration? No, it's just those three, right?
All right. Kyle Fletcher? Yeah. Kyle Fletcher
No. Could be somebody else. Could be somebody that's got beef with one of those guys. I can't think of who right now, but yeah, you're probably right. It maybe
could be Hangman.
No, Hangman's gonna be on the Elite team.
Yeah, maybe. I got a theory.
Well, I got a theory that's better. So we'll get to that when we get
to it.
Dante, please no. But yeah, probably.
No, but he was in one of those. Yeah, he was in that.
Oh, you know who?
Conglomeration things.
Who haven't we seen in a while?
A lot of people.
Darby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Darby. Although Darby was in Anarchy in the Arena. So, I mean, okay, but sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I that's my call for the fifth guy, Darby. And he'll be revealed like the week before. Or maybe even on the show.
Probably. Yes.
Yeah. And, all right. So the Acclaimed come out and while they're posing and they run them off. And then they point out Blood and Guts is the Elite versus Briscoe. One member of the Elite, four members of Briscoe's. They do point out this can be 5-on-5. So the Elite need another member. We go back to Tony and Tony Storm and Renee. And they point out that Tony retained her title on Sunday. They didn't show highlights. Tony congratulated Tony congratulated Renee just for being there. And she said Mariah and Sheeta are going to be wrestling on Friday on Rampage. Was it just me or could you not hear a lot of what they were saying in this thing? Because you could hear the crowd, but you couldn't really hear much of them.
Yeah, it was poorly mic'd in terms of I think they were using a boom mic and it wasn't picking up Tony at all.
So I think what she said, she told Mariah that Sheeta's tough, and she says, you might lose, but even if you do lose, I'll still love you. And with the world champion in your corner and Mina watching via satellite, you can't be stopped. They'll do the catchphrase, and then she says, chins up, tits out, and watch for the shoe. And that was that. Just a pretty by-the-numbers, lame. Wasn't even black and white. I think maybe the black and white went the same way as a pyro, and they're cutting. There's cutting funds on AEW. They did, so next we got Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. And at first I thought Stokely was doing like a promo to introduce Stat, but he actually, I think it's just part of her entrance music.
This is part of the entrance. Every day is Saturday.
Yeah, it's pretty kind of cool. But he comes out and he just goes out halfway with her and then goes to the back and
Chris he went all the way down and Chris did the whole put him on the stairs type thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, I missed that. But then when Willow does her entrance, Chris attacked her. And then Willow gave her a pounce and she rolled down the ramp. That was a cool spot. They went to the ring. We went right to break once they got into the ring and they came back. Crowd was super into this, like through the break. So that's a sign it's a good match. And crowd is actually pretty great all night, to be honest. Like I can't think of any point where they were down. Willow gave Stat an avalanche German and the crowd went nuts. Stat here with a boot to the head, then went for a pile driver. Willow reversed that, then Stat reversed that. Stat gave her something that looked like an F5, only got two. Stokely pulled the chain out of his suit, distracted the ref. Statlander got it. She went to swing for Willow. Willow ducked, looked like she was going to hit Stoke, but she's pulled up and didn't, and then Willow rolled her up and pinned her. And thought the match was good, a little short, and I didn't like the finish.
A little short. Commentary needed to put over the finish harder. Because the whole part of why Stokely didn't like Willow is because Willow would never use the chain when he had it.
Right.
Statlander decided to use the chain and was hoisted by her own petard. It should have been put over heavy on commentary, and instead it was just kind of, oh, it's there. Willow wins and moves on. It was one of those things where it's like, look, they're doing long-term storytelling, and they're forgetting to tell you about it on the commentary. And it was a little disappointing in that respect.
I thought doing the match in this tournament was, in retrospect, was probably a mistake. I think they should have saved it for a pay-per-view.
I agree. I think this is a good place for one of those double DQs that you'd get occasionally in tournaments. And then that person gets a bye or something.
Like Mariah. Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be good. Then we go back to Renee, and she's with Jarrett and Sanjay and the whole crew. She asked Jarrett, how can you prepare tonight when you don't even know who your opponent's going to be? And he doesn't even answer. He just walks off. Satnam Singh follows him. Lethal and Sanjay look concerned. And Lethal says, the important part is he's never been more prepared. Tonight is more than about wrestling. It's about honoring one of his best friends, Owen Hart. It was weird because it was a total babyface promo. And I don't know why
I think it's great. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because the way they've been setting this up, including the very solemn, straightforward promo that Jarrett did that was on Collision/Rampage, I believe.
Which one? The one 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I saw that one this weekend.
It's good because it can go either way. It's good because it could be a complete and total swerve if you decide to keep the continuity with Jarrett had made a deal with the EVPs to attack whatever, and then out comes like that's one of the reasons I thought it might be Shark Boy coming out, everybody laughs and everybody boos Jerry, everybody has a fun time, or it's completely by the numbers and by the book and sincere, and we got what we got, which was Hangman Destruction Crew, which is fine too. I think it was nice to play this straight down the middle and the concern and everything like that, because you could have then gone either way. And you had multiple ways, and it was like, okay, now let's see who the wild card is. And then once it was, I mean, it played by the numbers it was supposed to. So I really liked the way they built all this. And I liked that part of it's like, Jarrett, this means a lot to Jarrett, and we're building up some goodwill for him because people usually don't like Jeff Jarrett.
Now the problem is...
Except for me.
The problem is that most of the people watching and most of the crowd, I would venture to guess, did not see that Jeff Jarrett promo on Collision. I mean, they aired a longer version online that even fewer people would have saw. And I mean, it very much painted Jarrett as the babyface, except again, nobody saw it. So the majority of people watching are confused. Well, why are we supposed to like Jarrett?
Well, no, but they've been putting it over on commentary. I mean,
they're putting it over, but they're not show me, don't tell me.
Okay.
You know, like air that thing. But I don't
think... I agree they should have aired it.
But I think that they don't want to air it because they don't want him to be a babyface. He's a babyface in this spot, But now we return to our regular scheduled program. Next week he'll be, or whenever we see him again next.
Actually, that might be a good point. That might be, and that's just stupid.
And so really, the only thing the majority of the people saw was Lethal's promo saying he's fighting for his friend.
Yes.
And that's it. That's
and hearing Excalibur say they were tag team partners and Shivani saying for 80 matches.
Yeah. And this
that's traveling.
And this is, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the story. It's a simple story. And that's really all you need to know. You could watch the whole promo and be baby. I saw the promo again. I saw the short one that aired on TV, not the long one.
Yeah, they should have aired the long one.
I didn't think it was that great, to be honest.
That's fine, but I thought it did the job effectively.
But I also think that maybe my expectations were too high.
Like this need to be a 3-week storyline where we're continually asking Jarrett how this feels and what it
Instead,
is.
Instead, we got one
and
promo.
Maybe he's having a change of heart. And maybe he's doing this, and then he can gather more sympathy from the crowd. They need to condition the audience a little bit more on this.
You know what the other problem is? Is that we already did this with Jay Lethal when
Jay Lethal died. And Mark Briscoe,
Yeah, and they just dropped it.
And they dropped that as well.
Yeah. So that's probably what'll happen here. Till next year's Owen.
Yeah, and then that next week it'll be like Satnam, Jay, and Jeff, you know.
Yeah,
doing something wacky.
But you say next week, and I'll say next time we see him, because I don't think we're going to see Jeff Jarrett until the All Out pre-show. That's my prediction for the next time Jeff Jarrett's on camera.
Let me throw this at you.
Yeah,
Jeff Jarrett as part of Team AEW.
Oh God, I mean, maybe, I don't know,
for revenge. I don't know, but I don't think it'll happen. But
no, I don't like that, but. Maybe, because Mark Briscoe doesn't like Jeff Jarrett. Remember
that? I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So they go to commercial. They come back, and Tony Schiavone's in the ring, and he welcomes back Britt Baker, and she and Tony hug. He handed her the mic. Fans are chanting, "Welcome back." She's
Britt smiled, which was a good thing.
Yep.
Because that was what I was actually concerned about from Sunday. I was like,
oh,
whatever. It's like I wasn't sure. Wasn't sure if that there were other issues there, but smiling and coming out normally.
Yeah. Well, after what she talked about, yeah.
Damn,
I missed you guys. I thought way too long and way too hard about what I'd say, and then I just thought, you know what, Britt, just talk to them. So she says, I'm going to talk to you if that's okay. There's three things we all have: past, present, and future. Our past is our lesson, our present is a gift, and future is our motivation. For the last 10 months, I'm sure people have been wondering, where's Britt? Anytime that question was asked, the answer is she's injured. I think you guys know it's going to take more than a couple herniated discs and a torn hip labrum to keep me out of action. Back in November, I was banged up and running on empty, but every time I looked in the mirror, I said, I'm good. Until one day I wasn't. Started feeling really sick. The room was spinning. My vision was blurry. My arm was numb. I tried to open a bottle of water and I couldn't. My entire right side stopped working. To sum the story up, I spent a week in the hospital with a TIA. She said what it stood for, and I didn't write it down, but she said, basically, it's a mini stroke. She said, it's an instance where your brain isn't getting enough blood, a warning sign of a stroke. In fact, they call it a mini stroke. I looked at myself and said, Britt, you're not good. I told Tony I need to stay home, and he said, let me know when you're good. So we'll jump to the present. I'm here, cleared, and healthy. Everyone cheers. But I got to be honest with you guys, I was never more nervous than Sunday. I never doubted myself more. I didn't know if anyone would give a damn. You're cheering because you felt the fear of rejection. It's irrational, but it's real. Vulnerability is showing up when you have no control over what'll happen. Sunday, when I needed All Elite Wrestling, when I needed each and every one of you, you welcomed me back with open arms and those DMD chants. For that, I will always, always be in your corner. But at the end of the day, I'm one of you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So now we go to the future. When you're going through a hard time, go through that shit. Go through it and feel all of it. You'll feel better on the other side. We all possess the impulse to be elite. And speaking of elite, I have to bring this up. I heard we got a new female face of All Elite Wrestling. Everyone boos. And she said, it must be so rewarding for her to be able to call herself that after shedding blood, sweat, and tears and building this company from the ground up. CEO, I'm sure she worked hard and studied to earn those letters. She manipulated her fan base by piping those letters into her entrance music. We don't need music to tell our new friend the only three letters that matters in this company are, and she stops and they all chant DMD. And the promo was great. I really hope that Mercedes was okay with how she sandbagged her there at the end. I'm sure she was. I hope she was. But that's Britt, right?
I was gonna get into that in a bit, because like Britt will play the game, but Britt also has an enormous amount of respect for Mercedes. She had been on record a couple years ago that her dream match was Sasha Banks. I thought this is the most human that Britt's ever come off on AEW television, and I don't say that as a bad thing. I think that's a good thing for her. We had kind of known about this issue for a while.
I wasn't, but we
weren't allowed to say anything, and that's fine. Strokes are a scary thing, and it was obvious that she's a little frightened by that too, and that's good too. And that's good, you know. Britt as a baby face is going to be something. It's going to be a good. It's going to be an interesting test.
Well, she's in there with the right person.
I'm gonna, here's the interesting thing to me, because like, look, there have been reports, and most of them are completely accurate, about Britt and being a little territorial about moves and things of that nature, and you know, wanting to be the locker room. Britt wants to be a face of the company type of person. Britt thinks of herself as a female main eventer. There is no better measuring stick to test that against, at least in ring, than Mercedes. Mercedes is a big moment, big card wrestler. Always.
Can I make a call here? I am going to call right now. I think Mercedes and Britt might main event Wembley.
That's possible. I would not.
Swerve and Hangman's a big match, and
Britt better have a couple matches before that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, according to Mercedes, she's gonna have to.
And that I think that's a good story.
Yeah.
Matt's kind of bringing up I'm bringing up now is Britt's opinion of her work exceeds what has kind of been shown, but we've seen Mercedes put on bangers.
We've seen Britt do some too. So I mean, Britt's done well. This is on Mercedes to pull out a match out of her. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Britt.
They're going to need a stip, probably.
Britt has enough respect for Mercedes to let her do that too.
Yeah.
As long as the ambition doesn't get in the way.
They may need to do like a Hell in a Cell kind of thing, like not Hell in a Cell, but you know, like a cage match or
like a walk and brawl type of thing. You know,
like whatever it was she did with Thunder
just so it's not just so it's not technical and highly choreographed type.
Thunder
of thing.
Thunder Rosa and Britt can do a 5-star match.
Yes, that's
Mercedes
true.
And Britt that's true. 5-star match. Although you know, coming back, who knows if she's the same as she was?
That's the other thing is you know
and I mean
muscle, you know, capability and so. I mean, she looks great. She looks like she's worked out this entire time.
Those two, like, I feel bad for her and Cole. Like, man, they've had some bad medical luck, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's more to this segment yet. An SUV arrives on the Contron, and Mercedes steps out with her belts.
Honking and obnoxious. It's so great. Yeah,
she runs into Matt and Nick, and they congratulate her, and she says, finally, a CEO we can get behind. Your championship celebration is ready. Matt tells all the crew, get the props ready. Get the balloons out there. Let's go. Let's go. And they just cut back to Britt in the ring. And she's like, what's going on? So people start bringing out balloons. And they set up some easels in the corner with pictures of Monet winning both her belts. And they literally drop the bag of balloons at Britt's feet. And she's just looking down with this disdain. And then the music starts, and normally when you have that CEO and the fans were booing, like they weren't chanting along, and then they started to pick up on the CE no. I definitely heard CE no chants, which I heard a bit of it at Double or Nothing live. Mercedes gets a mic. The fans are chanting DMD. They're almost drowning her out, and she just looks at them with disgust. And she says, "Ooh, oops, Britt, did I interrupt something? Chicago, it's time to celebrate with your double champion, Mercedes Moné." And then Britt says, "I get it. I outshone your moment at Forbidden Door, so now you're trying to outshine mine." And Mercedes says, "What you do is so irrelevant to me. I made Forbidden Door famous when I became a double champion. Britt, I should have known you were trying to steal my spotlight." Fans are chanting, "Shut the fuck up." And they didn't bleep it, like unlike freaking SmackDown. Unlike Chicago, like you, I want you to get a real good look at what a real star looks like. And Britt just looks at her and she says, all in. Mercedes, I wrestled at the first All In right here in Chicago. I was the first female to go All In on All Elite Wrestling. And by signing my name on that contract, I wrestled at All In last year when your ass was looking like a broken bitch with a broken leg. I want to face you at All In. And Mercedes just face palms her. And she says, Britt, I'm never broke. I stay rich. Since I'm a double champ, there's a long list of girls waiting for me. So get to the back of the line, bitch. And then Britt looks around and says, bitch, what line? And there's nobody there. And then Mercedes says, well, I see you're a fan, so you obviously know what I'm going to say next. There's a price to pay when you mess with Mercedes Moné. And
Moné, sorry.
I didn't do this justice.
This was a Peppermint special, but it was very good.
Moné segment. This was great.
This was really good. There is a point both Sunday and tonight when Mercedes notices that the crowd has turned, or she gets this gleam in her eye and she goes, I have you. And then she just gets into it and she's in a flow. She, because there was a point where the crowd had turned on her, against Stephanie Vaquer.
Yeah, I heard about this.
And there's a little acknowledgement and a little smirk and a little gleam in the eye, and then she just goes in. She's the star she is. I love Mercedes. I think this is her natural habitat.
She's in her element.
She's in her element being the champion and being the uber bitch. This is her element. But it's also, I'm hoping it's not also just Britt's element. That's the thing that's because Britt has a lot of self-confidence. Let's put it that way.
Britt needs to not change anything and just keep doing what she's doing. That's how she got over in the first place.
Yeah, she needs, but to be a babyface in AEW for Britt Baker means losing some of the tood.
Yeah,
in
just a little bit,
and just a little bit, and being a little bit more real. Yes, you're right. Toning it down a bit, being thankful, being good, and not doing the sandbag act that she did as for a year and a half when she was.
But still, but she can still throw those barbs.
Well, she can throw those barbs because Mercedes can take them, because she's not going to drown Mercedes. Mercedes has enough in her where she's not going to take that lying down, as opposed to other women who are just going to stand there and go, well, what should I do now? Mercedes has her character. She knows who she is. She can respond to it, and that she's not going to get quote unquote sandbagged by Britt, for lack of a better term.
Answer that question, Jeff. It's Mercedes, right?
See, Mercedes' version is a more playful uber bitch. I believe Britt's a little bit more.
See, and here's the thing with Mercedes. As she gets into this element and as she gets really rolling as a heel, she becomes more likable.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
And that's a problem, too. It's always been a problem. She is absolutely likable as a scumbag. That's the weird thing.
I mean, it's the MJF issue, too, right?
Yeah.
Although a little bit. He did a great job tonight. But, yeah.
No, Mercedes is at her best when there's someone who is considered a bigger star than her, and she has a bit of a chip on her shoulder.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it.
It's the Tully Blanchard type of thing with flair.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Actually, a little bit of The Rock.
A little bit of The Rock, too. Yeah, yeah. But it's one of those days where it's like, oh, I need to prove myself? Well, I'm going to be even more obnoxious now. Yeah. I mean, but she's more playful. But the CEO character is more... It's more cartoonish than I'd like it to be, but it's what she wants to do, so it's fine.
We got highlights of the world title match of Forbidden Door, so it's the only time we saw Swerve here, and he retained the title with a JML driver. I thought we could have done a little like a post-match promo backstage with him, you know, just something backstage, just talking about how he retained. And you called Will Ospreay. You said you're the best in the world. Well, I just proved that I'm the best in the world. And leave it at that.
The champion should always have some moment on the pay-per-view afterwards. I mean, on the TV show afterwards to prove that he is the biggest star in the company. Yes.
Yeah. Renee with, she's busy tonight. She's with Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. And she says, Will, tonight your international title's on the line against Daniel Garcia. Mentally and physically, how are you feeling? And before he can answer, Don Callis shows up. And Will says, give us a minute. And then Kyle's about to leave. And then Callis says, no, you stay. And, or I think maybe it was Will that told him to stay. And he says, Don, you don't have to say anything. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm the guy who hit the ref. I'm the guy who couldn't bring myself to hit the Tiger driver. I'm not that guy anymore. Don, last year you gave me Kenny Omega. Then you gave me Chris Jericho at Wembley. My life changed. I owe you so much. I have a loyalty to you, but my heart was broken on Sunday. I want to be out of this. I'm done for good this time. And obviously, Will's never watched a Mafia movie or TV show. You don't leave the Mafia.
Blood in, blood out. Come on.
Yeah. And Don says, I'm not normally in the habit of letting people out of a signed agreement with me, but I'm so proud of you for what you've done here. I'm happy to do you the favor. Maybe one day I'm going to ask you for a favor. And he hugs him, and Will agrees. And he says, someday you're going to be the world champ. And kind of like they did a shot where he had his head over Will's shoulder, and he figured like Don was going to do some kind of line where he knew Will was dead. Didn't really happen. I mean, he wasn't happy, but it wasn't like that.
He did the face scrunch type thing. He wasn't happy about it. There's some machination going on there that'll probably be taken out on Kyle, who's still a member of the
Fletcher,
family.
Fletcher, on the other hand, was in the background through this whole thing with a dumb look on his face. I don't know why he was there.
He has the worst haircut in America. Oh, I mean, it's one of those things. It's weird because watching this segment, you could think that it could tie into the main event with Daniel Garcia,
I think it's coming later. I think it's coming later. I think Don will probably end up costing him the international title at some point. And then Kyle says, come on, Kyle. And then Kyle just kind of looks at Will and he leaves with Don. So I guess that's the power that Kyle still has, is he's between these two friends.
Yes.
Next, we got a Learning Tree interview, and I actually did take notes.
Hi, guys.
He talked through this whole interview and commentary for the next match in the same high-pitched voice.
Yes, he's raised his voice an octave or something. It's amazing.
He committed to this bit, and I freaking hate it. And I know I'm supposed to hate it, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. So he says, hi, guys. And he's carrying a contract of some sort. I wrote, I wasn't on the show tonight, and I thought I'd guest commentate. You know me. I got to have my TV time. Hook last week broke the cardinal sin of the wrestling business when he stole someone else's finish. That's the ultimate sign of disrespect, and that doesn't work for me, brother. And even worse, Taz, he's standing there and he's clapping on Hook like a mark. And if anyone knows about gimmick infringements, it's you, Taz. And I spoke to Matthew and Nicholas, and I can't sit next to you if I'm going to be doing commentary because I can't trust you. So they granted me an executive order. This freaking storyline. I don't know why Tony couldn't veto the order, but anyways. You're relieved of your announced duties and you have to vacate the arena immediately. And there's a bunch of security guards and he leaves through the crowd and Jericho's sure to go, bye, Taz. And so Jericho sits down to do commentary. I love this. It's a gimmick that Hook slammed Jericho so hard that Jericho's mentally handicapped. Because that's how he came off. Oh, my God.
Not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. Let's keep moving.
All right. So it was Jericho. It was Joe, Hook, and Shibata versus the Cage of Agony with Jericho on commentary. And Jericho, there's a few things here he said. He reminded us that he broke Shibata's nose with a hockey puck. And he says, no one knows more than me. Just ask me. I'll tell you. And then
props to Excalibur, by the way, for bringing in the Don Rickles reference with hockey puck. Love that.
When they went to commercial, Jericho says, bye, guys. And then when they came back from commercial, he said, hi, guys. Hook went ran wild after the break. Jericho says Hook learned from him. He suplexed everybody, except he couldn't finish it on Leona. Khan gave him a gutbuster for two, a double spinebuster by Gates of Agony on Hook. Joe made the save. Leona gave Joe a wicked pounce, and all of a sudden I want to see Toa Leona and Samoa Joe in a match. Cage gave Shibata an S5, then he tried on Hook but got DDT'd. Jericho repeats everything that the announcers are saying and says, excellent job, and they point out, you know, like Taz could have done this. And then Jericho says, listen to the crowd go crazy for Big Samoa Joke. Then Hook went wild on the heels. They whipped Hook into Leona. They did a train spot they do in Japan. Double drop kick by Shibata. Double suplex by Hook and Shibata. Then a senton broken up by Cage and Khan. Heels all went for a bunch of moves, but they all got reversed at the exact same time with submissions. And then Joe put out Leona with Coquina Clutch. Kind of thought they were protecting that Samoan guy, but I guess not. He got submitted by the other Samoan guy. It was a fine match. It was fun. It was a bit of a party match.
Hook has terrible clotheslines.
Oh yeah. Well, it doesn't help that he's 130 pounds.
Yeah, they're dreadful though. I mean, you're just like, I'm watching that going, get this kid on the road somewhere or get him in a dojo and get him trained maybe bulk him up a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I just, it's one of those things where I'm watching this, I'm going, I get this, but doing one match a week with guys who are that much better than you as opposed to doing it, I mean, if he was doing this match every night, he'd get better, but... You know, AEW is not that kind of territory anymore. I'm just like, how is Hook supposed to get upward mobility here? He's been on this roster for what, 4 years now?
So you know what the Wembley match is going to be, right?
Probably another party match.
No, it's going to be Hook and Jericho for the FTW title.
Oh God!
And what was the all-in match last year? It was Hook and Perry for the FTW title. Hook and Perry
for the FTW title, yes.
Although this time it probably won't be on the pre-show, so he is moving up a bit. And he probably won't have the guy that he beats quit the company right after or get fired, however you want to put it.
Maybe, but I don't think Jericho loses in Wembley 2 years in a row.
Oh, God. Yeah, you might be right. Maybe they'll do it at All In.
Maybe, yeah.
Or All Out, I should say. So that was that. So then Jericho leaves Jericho leaves commentary to congratulate the winners, but they all got attacked from behind by Big Bill and Brian Keith, and Keith threw off his sling, so it was all a work.
Keith has the this is lame though. Keith has the sleeve on. But he doesn't want to hit Shibata in the back with the chair, so he kind of bumps him with the chair so Shibata will turn around. Yep. Then he jabs him with the chair. Then he takes off the sheet. Then he whacks him with the chair. This makes no sense whatsoever, but I understand why they're doing it. I just laugh because Bill comes in there and just wallops Joe with the chair.
twice on the steps. Oh, my God. And that, I mean, that was right on the back.
Man, and there must have been a memo that says, you need to be careful with Shibata.
Yeah.
Be very, very gentle with Shibata.
They pilmanized Shibata's arm.
Yes.
Jericho was whipping Hook with the FTW belt. Bill nailed him with the chair, nailed Joe with the chair shots. Then Brian Keith handed Jericho knuckle dusters, and he laid out Hook, and then he waved to the crowd. Hook didn't even blade. Then Keith went and got a table, and Bill put him through it with a choke slam. Jericho waved. Bill had his thumbs up, and Brian Keith was yelling at everybody.
Let's make the small guy go out there and get the table.
Yeah. It was good.
No, it was
fans good. Didn't cheer for the table. That was good.
Yes.
Normally, that's an instant pop, but not here. They like these baby faces, and they don't like these heels. So it worked.
No, this was good.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett versus the wild card. So Jarrett was out, came out with his guitar. They pointed out that it's not the same Jeff Jarrett. His crew isn't with him. And the wild cards video starts, and there's horses, and then it's pretty clear it's Hangman. Then Hangman comes on the page. So the crowd popped a little bit, but not like you would have expected for a return. And then it dawned on me that
the music was different too.
Yeah, that's right. So that's smart too. You don't want to play the
right. You don't want the crowd pleasing. Yeah.
Bum, ba-dum, bum. And Hangman comes out, and it's a different Hangman. Like, I mean, he got some good coaching. I don't know what, but I mean, he was different.
It was the lighting. It was the lighting. It was they had a filter on the camera that's kind of yellowish. They did not give him a spotlight on the way
but
down.
I'm not even talking about the entrance. I'm talking about him.
Oh yeah, no. He I think he's gained a little weight.
He's not as cut.
He's not cut.
Yeah.
And he's not.
And he's pissed.
He's just pissed.
Yeah, he's not the millennial cowboy anymore. He's an angry cat. He's an angry
good.
Cowboy.
No more of this emo crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is some light chance of cowboy shit. The announcers point out that they remind us about the suspension, but then they said the Elite also are the ones that lifted it. Now, I want to say that everything they did before the commercial, I thought was perfect. Hangman just beat the living shit out of Jeff Jarrett. Jarrett could not get any offense in, and he was merciless. And I honestly thought they should have just kept up with that and then just had the Hangman finish him. But they went to commercial. Jarrett took control in the break. And when they came back, they actually had like a good match. And I'm not sure that this needed to have a good match. This story did not need a good match. This story needed a brutal killing. And we eventually got it. Like, you know, like eventually after several teases, Hangman finally hit the buckshot. And then he hit the second Deadeye in a row, which the second one was unnecessary. And he's pounding Jarrett from the mount. And then finally just mercifully pinned him. And the crowd never really got into Jarrett as a babyface because I don't think they knew the story very well.
And oh, they got the hope spot, though. That hope spot was magnificent.
They did get the hope spot. Well, and then Owen, he kept doing Owen Hart moves. Like, he did the enziguri.
Yes.
He put the sharpshooter on, just like Owen does, on the right side instead of the left. And the announcers actually pointed it out, which was good. So, obviously, Jarrett's, you know, in their ear beforehand. This is what I'm going to be doing. Make sure you tell people. And but I just don't – like, I think this would have worked better if they would have shown the longer promo. But, again, I don't know that they needed to because I don't think you wanted to babyface Jarrett for the rest of his career. Like, I think it was a one-night thing for tonight.
I actually bit on Hangman possibly getting DQ'd.
Yeah, I mean, they could have DQ'd him. I mean, he was ruthless. Like
especially that last time when he's being on and Aubrey's trying to get him off. If he had shoved Aubrey, I could have seen a DQ.
And there was the one spot, too, where he was, like, pounding Jarrett's head into the canvas.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that could have easily been a
I bit on it for a second. I was like, okay, that's cool. But, yeah, no, I adored the hope spot. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I really did. I'm watching the beatdown. Going, okay, here it is, and I more or less agree with you that this should just been a straight. We didn't need the commercial break, and we didn't need Jarrett getting any shine here because he was already. It already looked like he was in over his head a bit. Yeah. So I don't think we need it. But I did love the sharpshooter spot. I thought that was great.
And the one thing is. Oh, and at one point in this match, the fans just randomly decided to start chanting "Who's House? Swerve's House?" and that pissed Hangman off even more,
right,
which
right.
was great.
Well, see, they got the story then. They know the story then.
Yeah,
I mean,
Hangman is coming back to win this tournament and get a shot at Swerve. Like, that's it. I thought it was a good return, and it got. I don't think it could have gone much better. Like I said, the one tweak I would have had was just not even give Jarrett the hope spots. And this is from a massive Jeff Jarrett fan, but you know, just I don't even know why this had to be Jeff Jarrett in retrospect. But I guess you know you wanted. I think they thought that Jarrett was going to be a bigger babyface than he was. That's the only difference.
I think he wins it.
Oh, Hangman for sure he wins.
Well, a lot of people are thinking it's going to be Danielson.
No. I mean, that's the thing. He's going to beat Danielson in the finals, which solidifies his heel turn. And the fact that Danielson's going in hurt, I mean, that plays into that story. And Hangman's probably going to drop him with the Deadeye on the apron.
The Jay White match interests me as to how they do that.
Well, the thing is, Jay White and him have a history. And you know, and they were in the ROH title match, I believe, at the MSG ROH show. They have a long history, these two, and they pointed out before, and they wrestled in AEW too. I think they may have wrestled in.
I'm just saying it's going to be interesting because it's one of those things where Jay White is still kind of a uber heel in the company.
You know what else kind of got me biting on Jarrett for a second, and maybe this hit you too, was when they pointed out that Saturday's in Memphis.
Yeah. No, that's why I thought he was going to win. I thought he was going to win here and then lose in Memphis.
Yeah, or even win in Memphis, you know, like, and then go to the finals. Like, that would have been something too.
Oh, no, eventually they're going to use the goodwill with Owen to screw him. And that'd be fine. I mean, and that's fine too. Owen would have wanted it that way.
Yeah.
interesting though, this postscript. And I'll let you get to it, and then I'll comment on it.
Well, before we got the postscript, we did get a backstage brawl with Hook and Brian Keith, and then out of nowhere,
the Wizard's back. Yes. The
Wizard's back, and he throws a fireball in Hook's face, and Keith stands over his fallen body and says, "You respect Chris Jericho." And Chris Jericho says, "Bye, Hook."
And this is a well-done fireball spot, too, I thought.
It was. It came out of nowhere. And actually, I thought for a second that Jericho was going to drop the character, like, because he was just standing over him all mean, and then he did the "Bye, Hook."
Yeah, real quick, as it was fading out. Yeah.
I hope he slowly just kind of devolves that part of it, because other than that, like, I think this is kind of working, but I just hate that voice. But again, I think I'm supposed to hate it, so I just got to get used to it. That's all. Then we get the postscript that you were talking about. Renee with Hangman, and she asks him, was that level of aggression necessary? And the Bucks show up. They congratulate him. You can thank us anytime. We lifted your suspension. We got you a spot in the Owen. How about you scratch our backs, and we'll scratch yours? Blood and guts in 3 weeks. Will you be our fifth man? And Hangman grabbed Matt, and he says, "Listen, I'm not your puppet. I don't need your bullshit games. I'm in the Owen. I'm going to win the Owen. Do you understand me? I'm done being the elite's puppet." And then he leaves off, and they all, "Welcome back, Hanger." And I was waiting for he didn't say no. So,
yeah, I'm interested in this, because this is the character I think Jack Perry should be playing within the Elite, to be honest with you, when he was brought back as a scapegoat gimmick.
Yeah, yeah.
But remember, he was fired from the Elite, and he's been brought back.
He was suspended.
Okay, but
he was not fired from the Elite.
Nevertheless, this puppet thing, I could see a scenario. Now you're gonna think I'm crazy on this.
Okay,
where Hangman's part of Team AEW, but teaming with Swerve in a very can they coexist type of way, and eventually they can't. Mm-hmm. And then Christian is brought in and said, "Hey, if you can take out Hanger, we'll give you the title shot against Swerve again," type of a thing.
I mean, that is plausible. I mean, and then that gives you the...
I don't think it's good. I think Hangman's eventually going to say, "I hate Swerve so much, I'm coming in with you guys, but I'm not your friend anymore."
Yes, I think that's exactly it. I put that out on X, and people seem to like that idea. And I think it just makes sense. So he's not with the Elite. Although eventually, I think he will be part of the Elite.
No, it's going to be like Drew on that.
Yeah, with Judgment
Day. On that War Games team. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way. Yeah, it's just the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, like, and this is his way. And I do think, and if they do that, then Hangman has to submit Swerve or pins. Well, I guess it's just submission or knockout at Blood and Guts, right?
I think Team AEW has to win this, because it just lost Anarchy in the Arena. There's no way to heighten this thing about the Elite being in there, because there's no way to get rid of them.
Unless there's some sort of stip.
Yeah.
But I think if you're building up a world title match between Swerve and Hangman, I think Hangman needs a win here. And you can do it in a 5-on-5.
Yeah, you could.
So. But, I mean, you could also do the Hangman on their side, and then he walks out on the team. You know, and when he gets into it with Swerve, and then that sets up the Swerve, because I think he's got to win the Owen. And I think Danielson is your fifth member of Team Elite, actually. Team AEW, I mean.
All right.
So Danielson, Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy, Briscoe, and Swerve. But I would actually take Kyle O'Reilly out there and put Darby. Maybe they injure Kyle O'Reilly before it, and then Darby saves the day, and he's the fifth. So you get Darby, Orange, Briscoe, and Swerve as your Team AEW.
Okay, that doesn't... Yeah. Those aren't the heavy hitters of AEW that you'd want in there, but okay.
I don't know.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you think that this would be the match to go, okay, we're going to get rid of the Elite once and for all type of a thing, but we're still on the ascendancy of the Elite type of a thing.
The problem is, the Elite aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Also, this is a little bit weird, and I'm gonna bring this up. That the Elite's always been treated as ironic, and now we're bringing some seriousness into it?
Well, kind of.
Kind of?
Well, with Hangman, not necessarily with the other guys.
Right. They don't mix that well.
True. True. We got a reminder that MJF is going to be kicking off Collision on Saturday, which should have been a red flag about what was going to happen at the end of this thing, especially because the graphic they showed, he's sitting there with his fist up and his ring right center, and he looks like a heel, like, in this thing. And especially knowing now, like, I just, like, because I had this in my head already, I'm just like, oh my God, they're planting so many seeds here. He came out, he got an intro for the main event, and it's Ospreay and Garcia for the international title. And MJF was in his corner, and he's being a great cheerleader. He was wearing a wife beater, a white wife beater, like Daniel Garcia used to always wear in his matches and whenever he was doing interviews and everything, and worked out well for later on because they did an angle with blood. So, of course, he got to put blood on his thing. They had a really good match. I imagine the match that Ospreay had with Swerve on Sunday was better, but this was good enough for me, and I didn't have to pay for it. So it was really good. They went through a break. Ospreay was in control. Crowd was going nuts. They got into all Danny's hope spots. At one point they were chanting, "Let's go, Danny, let's go, Will." But after the break, it was just Danny. Like, he was the babyface, and Will wasn't the heel, but they were totally behind Garcia, and they really wanted a title shot. Especially, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a woman in the front row that looked like she was, like, into everything, and she really, really wanted Garcia to win. And when he lost, she was so disappointed.
Was this the woman that had the Brie Woo Forever sign for Jarrett?
Maybe. She was, like, she had a lot of tattoos, and I think she might have long straight black hair. Okay. She's wearing like an orange top or something, and she just looked like, they focused on her a couple times, and maybe she was related to Danny or something, but she looked really upset. So they went through the break. Like I said, they pointed out the Rampage matches. This looks like a hell of a show. Rush and Commander and Mariah and Hikaru Shida. And I think they also pointed out this is an ROH match that they built up earlier. It was like Metalik and Commander against the Kingdom. Sign up, Honor Club, $10 a month. Collision, MJF's going to kick it off. Tony Storm and Trisha Dora and Hangman and Switchblade. Winner faces Danielson next week on Dynamite. And then we also going to get Willow Nightingale against the winner of Mariah May and Hikaru Shida next week on Dynamite. And Swerve will return in Calgary. So we come back, and they're going back and forth. The story of the last part of this match was Will kept, you know, trying to hit this hidden blade, and he wasn't hitting it. At one point, he hit a powerbomb, hit a Styles Clash for two. That got a great near fall. The crowd loved it. I was expecting an AJ Styles chant, but we didn't get it. MJF had his ring. Ospreay threw off his elbow pad to set up the hidden blade, but Garcia jumped on his back, put on a sleeper. Then he went for a guillotine. Ospreay powered out, went for a Stormbreaker. Garcia reversed. Then Ospreay went for an Os Cutter. Garcia blocked it, hit a pile driver. That was a great near fall. Fans start chanting AEW. Then MJF tries to give Garcia the ring. Garcia doesn't want to take it. Will rolled him up. They do a quick roll-up sequence. Both guys get near falls, and Garcia lariated him. MJF tried to get him to use the ring again, and Garcia is just like, nope, gives it back. And then MJF is fine, okay. And then turns around, and he gets hit with a hidden blade, and Will pins him. And that was that. Will retains the title. And then we get, and they keep going on, and they must have mentioned that we're having an overrun 15 times during this match. And the match ended, and we were already over time, and they kept going. MJF, he was acting all upset, kicking the ring steps, and he's just overdoing it. Excalibur says, just wasn't Garcia's night, and Tony Schiavone says, his night's going to come. Garcia's crying in the corner. Will goes to his side, gives him a pep talk. MJF's just standing on the apron. I was waiting. I figured MJF was going to run and kick them both. But he says, and Will says, I know you can do it. He had his back to MJF, and then he just clapped, and he left his ring with his belt. And so then MJF's in the ring with Garcia, down on one knee in front of him, and tells him to cut off Will's music. And he says, this one, that was on me. He says, you busted your ass. These people love you. Lifted his hand, puts his hand in the air, hugged him, and then he kicked him in the nuts. And the fans are chanting, he's our scumbag. Menard tried to save. He got laid out. I don't know what MJF did to him, but when they focused on Menard later, he was just bloody from head to toe.
He hit him once with the ring, and then Daddy Magic decided to blade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He had more blood on him than in that promo he cut after Blood and Guts a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
MJF screaming at him to get up just so he can level him again with a clothesline in the ring. Tony Schiavone's, I knew it. That son of a bitch is no good, and he never was. Tony says a tiger will never change his stripes. MJF screaming at the crowd to shut the hell up. This is where I pointed out the girl in the front row. She was like practically crying. Garcia's bloodied up. MJF's got his foot across his throat. MJF's battling off security guards, just picking him off one by one, pounding on Garcia some more. And he says, and I just wrote, MJF's just a maniac. And he's shirt stained with Garcia's blood. Went to give him a suplex, and he just stopped, dropped him. Then he picked him up again, put him on the ring post. This is where they showed Menard covered in blood. Then MJF gave him an atomic heat seeker. And then Daniels was out trying to stop him. And MJF left through the crowd. The people are just booing him like crazy. He's arguing with fans. He got face to face with this big black dude who I hope was a plant, because that could have gotten nasty. But security and Will were in the ring checking on Garcia. They took him out with a backboard. Rocky Romero was there for some reason. And Daniels is like, I'm going to fix this, Will. Will Ospreay was back checking on him. And he says, I'm going to fix this. Don't worry. So I think this sets up MJF and Will Ospreay at Wembley is what it looks like.
MJF's going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting on this promo on Saturday.
Yeah.
He is going to need to explain why he was so angry at Garcia for not necessarily rejecting his match at Wembley and going after the and taking the Will Ospreay thing, that's why he was so enraged. Because it's one of those beatdowns that you're watching and you're going, yeah, this is a great beatdown. Doesn't really make a lot of sense right now. So it's one of those let's wait and see what happens types of a thing for me.
Is it possible he just ignores that and goes back to, I told you guys at Double or Nothing, no more friends, don't trust me, I'm your scumbag, this is on you, Garcia.
Yeah, but that would be lame. I mean, because what that does is that absolutely does nothing for this Garcia storyline.
Well, I think the Garcia storyline's on hold.
I think it is, but at the same time, it was like, well, that was the whole point of this, was to
I think it might be
a three-way at Wembley. It might be.
It could be. What I think is going to happen is we aren't going to see Daniel Garcia again until after Wembley, or maybe at Wembley. And he'll show up and he'll somehow either screw MJF, or he'll show up after and he'll be MJF's first challenger if he beats Will. But I think that's the next time we see him. And when he shows up, it should get a big pop.
I don't know. AEW could always do the, oh man, look, it's Daniel Garcia, he's back, and he screws Will on behalf of MJF. Because you were right this whole time. Yeah, I should have used the ring. It's like,
that could happen too.
But I hated the ending. I hated the ending of this match. I really did. Really? It's just like, okay. Oh, you're such a geek. Stupid babyface syndrome again.
Matt brings up a point. I thought MJF being genuine, trying to be Garcia's friend, and MJF just snapped and his inner sociopath came out. I mean, that's possible too, and it could be they could play into the Adam Cole thing and say, you know what, I trusted Adam Cole, and look how that turned out, and I wasn't going to let that happen to
me. Well, the thing that triggered him was Will coming out and giving Daniel Garcia a better offer as if he was one-upping MJF.
So this started last week.
Yes.
Yeah, and that could be because I mean, especially
that's when he got triggered was when Will came out and goes, "Hey, I'll give you a match for both belts, both the world title."
And then he just walked out and he's like, "All right, see ya."
Yeah,
you know, like, and he was clearly bothered.
Yeah.
And then if you knew what was going to happen, I mean, if you watch all the MJF segments now, knowing what happened, and me knowing what was going to happen, I mean, it was telegraphed.
It was telegraphed, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's also just I mean, I think you bring up a good point. This is just weird with MJF, what they're kind of doing, because they're kind of changing the character from week to week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're back to the original MJF. I mean, he's a scumbag.
But it's also like it's weird because we dipped our toe in kind of wacky, funny MJF last week, and now we're kind of back to Dynasty promo MJF, where it's like,
it's funny because like he cut that promo at Double or Nothing and said,
Double or Nothing, you're right,
this is what I'm gonna be, and then he went off of it because he was doing the donkey dicks and
yes,
and then but I mean, I think the whole point was, okay, I know I'm gonna get cheered at first, so I'm gonna lay the groundwork for what's about to happen. Like, this is all, you know, this is now we're talking shoot, right? Like, but in terms of storyline, yeah, you got some explaining to do, you know, in terms of storyline. But the AEW fan base is pretty forgiven.
I'm good with this, but it's just weird to me because it seems to me the end game here, if you're gonna, I mean, they built up Daniel Garcia. He's the backbone of AEW, yeah. type of. He should be getting his first big title win somehow, either against MJF or Ospreay here, and he's not. He's a through line to get to MJF versus Ospreay, and you're like, okay.
Well, for now, but I think
for now, but they won't circle back.
Well, hopefully they do.
No, he's coming on dancing next time he's on. They're gonna
I didn't point out together. There was one point where he could have hit Ospreay, and instead because Ospreay bent down in order to take the Kawada kicks. And instead, Garcia did the dance and humped in his face. that was interesting. And then they did another spot with slaps, and then Garcia finished it by humping in his face again. So
no, it was a good match. It was just one of those things. It's like
I mean, if we're talking like good matches, I don't even know. I it was either this or the opener that was better. They're both about the same, just different. You know, like same rating but different matches. People to show up on Saturday, but fucking Collision on a 4th of July weekend.
That's gonna be tough. And against Money in the Bank.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh man, you know what? I mean, so you can either throw in the towel or you can put something out there that people are gonna want to see.
Yeah.
And I guess they took the latter, and hopefully they're right.
Put Matt's comment up there, Matthew. Sorry.
This one?
Yes.
I like Garcia, but come on, not everyone gets to be pay-per-view main eventers.
I get that too.
Yeah.
But we've been teasing this stupid Garcia push for 2.5 years, 3 years already.
Since he beat Danielson.
Yeah. And we've never gotten it. And it's like, and they keep on going back to it and teasing you and then not doing it. That's my problem with it. Because if I'm Garcia, I'm like, when does my contract end? I'm going to NXT.
Well, I had heard, I don't know, this is a while ago. At one point, Garcia kind of did that.
And well,
that's when he started getting pushed again.
Yeah, and his contract is supposed to end this year because Fightful just came out with a report about it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Maybe this is maybe, you know, the next time we see Garcia is gonna be WWE. No, like,
maybe or
Ricochet will show up. Maybe yeah, Ricochet brought that up earlier.
It's just an odd thing. You don't need Garcia to be the through line to get to MJF and Will. You can just have MJF be a jerk to Will. It's a little baffling to me, but it's fine.
I'm not sure when Ricochet can be debut. I'm sure by All In, but I don't know about before that. People seem to think Ospreay and Ricochet for All In, but I mean, this pretty clearly seemed to set up MJF and him.
Well, I think contracts expire. It's one of those things where it's not, there's no 90-day hold on it necessarily.
Right.
There might be.
But it's whenever the contract actually expired. And all we knew was sometime this summer. So I think there's still a possibility that WWE makes him a really good offer, but I'm sure he made up his mind already. John in Memphis, points out he's not going to the show this week. Huh. So there you go. I would go if it was in Winnipeg, I'd go. But it's not, so I'm not. I'll watch it, but probably not this weekend. I just started ROH from last week, so that's how far behind I am. And if I do watch Forbidden Door, it'll be sometime this weekend, but I don't know if I'm gonna have time.
I have to watch Money in the Bank, so.
Oh, so do I. Money in the Bank, Heat Wave,
But I mean on I mean live on Saturday.
Oh, you're doing a post show?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Well, tell us about it.
Actually, I may not.
tell us about it. Do your plugs.
Crap Game 13 on Elon Musk's lovely X. This week, I also do a show called Shake Them Ropes on Voices of Wrestling. This week, Chris Novembrino and I preview the aforementioned Money in the Bank and Heat Wave, in addition to any thoughts we might have on Forbidden Door. I don't know if he watched it or not. And plus anything that happened on Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, and Vader Club this week is the main event of ECW When Worlds Collide, Funk and Anderson versus Eaton and Sabu.
Ooh, that sounds, I remember that actually. Okay,
I've gone down a rabbit hole of 92 to 94 Bobby Eaton and Arn Anderson because their paths are very, very interesting. They do stints in Smoky Mountain and ECW in addition to WCW back and forth. Both kind of get fired, both kind of get rehired. There's a lot of interesting stuff in those 2 years for those two.
I apologize.
Bobby Eaton ends up teaming with Chris Benoit before Benoit goes to ECW. It's something, yeah.
All right. I never do this after the plugs, but I got to ask you something because I just got a text and it, because I didn't know about the Fightful Select report about Garcia. So what did, like, what did they say about when his contract expires?
Oh, let me go back to the email because I was reading.
Is it possible? Is it possible that this was actually writing him off?
It's possible. I don't think it's
okay. Because I mean, because the funny thing is like, if you didn't know Ricochet's contract was up, you would have thought that Ricochet Breaker angle was setting up Ricochet to come back and, you know, go against Breaker at some point.
Sources familiar with the situation have confirmed that Daniel Garcia's AEW contract was set to expire in fall 2024, at least as of earlier this year. Unless he's re-signed since then, Garcia could possibly hit free agency at just 26 years old with years to come, blah, 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 blah. When we asked directly to those close to Garcia about his contract status, they said that a lot of his future would likely come into focus soon. We did reach out to Garcia, but didn't get a comment on record or on background for the story. He takes on Will Ospreay tonight. He had a WWE tryout in January 2021.
Okay. So
possible this is a write-off, but I doubt it's a write-off.
Because the message I got was basically, is he going to be in Toronto this weekend? And probably not.
No.
Well, I mean, he might be, but he might be at the show, but he's not going to be on TV.
Well, Buffalo to Toronto is not that far of a drive.
It's like an hour. So yeah. He might go. All right. Well, that's it for me. I'm trying to think if I got anything to plug other than this show. I don't really think so.
You did Wrestling Observer Radio over the weekend.
I did. Yeah. Stuff. If you haven't listened to it, yeah, you can go back. And I did the Brian Vita show last week too, talking about AEW and NXT. I want to recommend a show that was on this network, and maybe some of you watching and listening don't often see it, but the Double G show with Scott and Keela from The Wrap. And they did their five top moments in WWE,
which was interesting.
Yeah, it was fun. I did my five. Keela read them out, and by memory, I think my top five were Liz and Macho Kiss, which none of them picked, surprisingly. The Sami Zayn hitting Roman with the chair at the Royal Rumble. Cody returning at WrestleMania 38. I think it was Kofi winning the title at Mania, and Hulk getting his cross ripped off by Andre, ripping the on Piper's Pit. Those are my top five moments. Although I didn't realize they were focused on favorite, or I definitely would have put Owen and Brett in there. Owen pinning Brett, because that was my favorite moment in history of wrestling ever. So anyways, that's it. Those are my plugs. So go listen to the Double G show. And thank you, Matt. Matt says I was great on WR. So go back and listen to that if you got a Wrestling Observer subscription. So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been The Dynamite Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.